Greetings to you all. Been a long time since I sang that song. I had just about forgotten the words and what was in it. But I noticed I used to think of that song as more of a melancholy song. Something that was kind of sad. Something that was, I don't know if I even wanted to contemplate at that time or not. But I noticed something in this song this morning. And it's what the Lord laid on my heart to talk about. And what do you suppose that word is? Howe'er I joy contemplated. Joy! And I noticed as we sang that song that joy is a central part of that song. A very, very central part. So it's on my heart this morning to talk about joy. How many of you, how many of you, has anybody memorized 1 Peter 1, 3, 4, and 5? No, verses 3, 4, and 5 of 1 Peter 1, chapter 1. Well, I'm going to read it, and if you want to join in, if you know it, let's say it together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I need to go back. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Does anybody here ever struggle with joy? Anybody else? We do, don't we? At times we do. And maybe it's because of what is said here, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's possible. And yet joy is what? Galatians 5:22. What is joy?
Strength.
Pardon me?
Strength.
It is strength. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That is correct. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So, a little while ago, a week or two ago, I woke up in the morning and the Lord had laid a thought on my heart, and it eventually led into this thought of joy. And I thought about the positions that we occupy in life. Some of us are fathers, some of us are mothers, some of us are husbands, some of us are wives, some of us are children. We all have some sort of a station, probably most of us at least, within that bound. And yet, though we're all children of God, we all have different places to fill. Every one of us does. And I was thinking more in particular in regard to the wife and the place that she's called to fill, and yet it can apply to us all. But the wife, I'm just thinking about that. This is Mother's Day, and I don't really have a Mother's Day opening here, but the wife is called to fill a role, a support role. And many women find that to be just a burden. Actually, even a bondage. And as I woke up and thought about that, I started talking to my wife about that, and I thought, and I said to her something like this, that, you know, it's not so much the place where you're called to serve, it's whether you're serving according to the will of God. And if you are doing what you're doing, if you are submitting to your husband in the fear of God and for the praise and glory of God and because he commanded you to, you can be joyful because you're not there primarily to please your husband. You're there primarily to serve your God in the place where he's put you. And I just want to share that with you today. Can you serve with joy in a place where you feel like maybe you're a bit beat down or you're tempted to feel that way? Yes, you can. Because you're not doing it as unto man. You're not doing it as unto yourself. You are called to do it as unto the Lord. And therein is joy. And so that just led to some other thoughts as well. I'm going to go now to Romans chapter 14. If I can lay my eyes on it. That's where it was. I was just looking at it this morning. Well, wherever it is, it's this verse that says that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Pardon me? 17. You're right. Oh, okay. That makes sense. I'm in 1 Corinthians. You're right. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. And sometimes, you know, we are tempted to do that. For meat, we can get into a place where we just think that meat and drink is pretty important. And yet it's not the most important thing. It's just not the most important thing. So if you go back over into the 15th chapter then, in verse 13, there's a follow-up to that. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So what then is the root of joy? What is the root of joy? I was reading that verse in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then my next question was, so what is the root of hope, of joy? Believing, but there's a little bit more. The Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits, as the brother said. Amen. Amen. How can you obey? through the Holy Spirit, not? So much of it goes back to the Holy Spirit. And I guess I don't have a long opening here this morning, but I just want to encourage people that when you're downcast, that you remember from whence your blessings flow. You remember from whence your salvation comes. You remember that you are called to rejoice. Sometimes we are commanded to rejoice. It doesn't necessarily come easily, because the circumstances of life can have us in a little bit of a slow of despond at times. But there's a need to go back and pick up the joy of the Lord again. There's just a need to do that. I think that one of the greatest verses in the Old Testament, at least for me, is found in Psalms, in Proverbs. No, it's found in Psalms 147, and I believe it's in verse 11. And this one, I think, gives great, great hope. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Can you imagine the Lord? Do you ever struggle to believe that the Lord takes pleasure in you? You personally? Do you know that He does? That's what David said. I believe it was David. In those that hope in His mercy. That is a faith-inspiring verse to me, right out of the Old Testament, right out of the psalmist, and I find it to be a forerunner of the New Testament, of even the gospel of grace and of Jesus Christ, and I am greatly encouraged by that, and I just want you to be encouraged by that this morning too. I just want you to be encouraged by that. Don't get so bogged down with the cares of life, with the call of life, with the trials and temptations, though they be manifold, that the joy of life begins to escape you just a little bit. Call upon God for all the fruit of the Spirit. I do that often. I do that often, and I think you probably do too. Call upon God for the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy is the second one. Love, joy, and peace. You know, all of those are traveling companions, if you stop and think about it. Where one is, the seed for the other is, or the others, is going to be there. And it's a thing that we need to covet, is to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Need to covet that every day. Need to try to walk there every day. We need to cry out if we're not. And say, Lord, I know You want me to walk here. Raise me up in joy and in love and in peace and in long-suffering and in gentleness and in goodness and in faith and in meekness and in temperance. Raise me up in those things. Raise me up in those things. And where one is, the others are sure to be there also, on some level at least. And so that's the call. And the apostle says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. And so I'm going to stop there and let you contemplate that for a little while. May God add His blessings to your meditations.
Thank you. I appreciated that. I really like the thought of how you said they're traveling companions. And then I kind of envisioned all the boys here. We rode behind them as they rode up the street. If, you know, one was love, one was faith, one was patience, one was long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, hope. They were all riding together. That's edifying. Another source of joy in suffering is, you know how it says, if need be, you're in temptation through manyfold, or however that verse goes, manyfold temptations. But anyways, years ago I had thought how, oh, it's needful. Wow, this is need. These sufferings are needful. And So when you are suffering and you are going through hardships, you can rejoice and have joy because God is fulfilling your needs. He's giving you what you need to grow, and that in itself is encouraging. Like, you could just be going through the hardest things, but just be considering that God is working with you. He's working on you. And years ago, I remember I was traveling, and I was at this, I might have shared this before, but I was at this on-ramp, and it was overcast, and it was just rainy, and my gear was probably wet, and I was tired and alone, and I just had this thought, like, He's not going to give you more than you're capable of enduring. Like, the Lord knows, you know, how much you can go, how much you can endure. And I thought, I just changed in my mind, like, wow, God thinks I'm, like, capable of handling this. Like, okay, like, that was encouraging to just consider that maybe I was getting stronger. But, yeah, God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, brother, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Really, really good thoughts. I guess one thing I was just thinking that I would share was, it's interesting that the word is translated as grace or gratitude, thanks, charis, shares the same root with the word that means to rejoice, kairo, which shares the same root with the noun, kara, that means joy. And so that's all, they're all like in the same family, cousins, brothers, whatever, sisters, whatever word. So, yeah, that was really edifying. Thank you. And yeah, just thinking about what Brother Teo was saying, it reminded me here, and which is, I mean, Paul says it in a different way. What Brother Teo was saying here, Romans chapter 5, said, therefore, having been justified by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Through whom also we have access by faith into this charis, into this grace, which we now stand and rejoice, and it's two words sharing the same root, in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but also we glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation, as Brother Taylor pointed out, produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces hope. And now this hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So anyway, yeah, but thank you, brother.
Likewise, Brother Kent, sure. I mean, it was very, someone who's 70 years old like you is a good example, or will be 70, is a good example for us people to consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various tribulations. Brother DeJean was in jail for 5 years. That was joyful. Paul was in prison when he wrote Philippians. Lamentations is, he's talking about the joy. You know, I'm going to say this. I hope it's not an insult, but they can take you out of charity, but they can't take the charity out of you. That was a very, I thought I was in a charity church there, and it was really edifying. And bless you. The Lord be magnified.
I guess one thought I had as well was regarding back to your original statement about just thinking the role of women, and just, you know, at the beginning of 1 Peter 3, how it just talks about kind of that quiet, gentle spirit that is joyful to God, and also to just kind of connect some of my mind with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where he's talking to his disciples in general about giving them a command to go out and be a light into the world, and wives, when they're doing this, are such a wonderful example to all of us of humility, which you don't get grace if God gives grace to the humble, and all those virtues, they're an example of that for us all. So
yeah, I'm real thankful, just the practical things you spoke about, I could really appreciate it, and I think my wife could too, just to be joyful in any circumstance. I think of joy as not being quite real if we can't prove ourselves joyful in whatever circumstance we're in. Like it goes, you know, it's easy to be this certain good character if everything's going good, but that's not really what I pick up in the scriptures. It's the times of temptation, the times of trial that we prove to God who and what we really are made of. And I think I think that thought is what led me to Peter and John and somewhere in Acts, one of their first encounters with the council, you know, they got in trouble with the council, and afterward they said that they count it joy that they were able to be worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And yeah, that's good. We need to rejoice in those things. Traveling companions is very interesting. It's also sobering in that I think it's also true that the works of the flesh are traveling companions. I think I could testify to that, and how my old life used to be that way. Like one thing leads to the next, and you really are working together, whether it's whatever that list is, just the whole list of variance, hatred, idolatry, fornication, adultery, and bad attitudes, and so on. But yeah, then the fruit of the Spirit does the same thing, and what's neat about that is it says something different about that than the works of the flesh. There in Galatians 5, it says that there is no law against it. You know, we have open range with joy to take it as high as the heavens. And really, that's where the actual joy is. Like there in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, I think the father somewhere in there it ends up saying how that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that is saved than over 99 just people that don't need repentance, or more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just people that don't repent. And so the joy is in heaven. And yeah, the things that are in heaven that are, you know, those things, the kingdom of heaven is now here on earth, and so joy is a part of that. Praise God.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think when you think about who we are and how we're made of clay, and we're vessels, and we can be filled with good things or bad things, and it just seems like if your focus isn't on the things of the Spirit or things of God, you're going to be filled with something else, and your whole day is going to depend on that. And if you let it go one way versus the other, then your day is going to start off very poorly. I always appreciated the message.
Yeah, I appreciated what you shared, brother, and appreciated the comments too. Some of the comments were just thoughts I had as well. Really, it seems like a very simple thought, but also very profound, just the traveling companions, or just thinking about, like, I can't really imagine, you know, having, though I'd never thought about it, I don't think in that way, having joy if you don't have peace. Like, how could you even? Or love, or anything else like that. That if there's a lack in one, that, you know, it'll just bleed over to the next. I had also a thought. It seems that joy, maybe some of these others, but is joy, okay, so it's a fruit of the Spirit. Is it, would it be right to say it's contagious? Contagious? I mean, if there's if you're around someone who's full of joy and full of the Spirit, I guess, or the fruit of the Spirit, it's contagious. And so so in a way we have to be infected, I guess, with the Holy Spirit, if that's the right word. It's not. I had to think about there was a, I think, was she called Typhoid Mary? Or there was a woman who was during an epidemic of some sort, I guess a typhoid, who was a carrier of this disease. She was asymptomatic, so they didn't know she was sick, but they finally traced it down to that, to it must be this woman. Everywhere she goes, she lights this thing up, and people get infected around her. And I thought, that's the way we should be, like infecting people with joy, and just fruits of the Spirit in general, I guess, wherever we go.
Thank you for that exhortation, Brother Kent. I appreciated the emphasis on the need to ask. Things of the Spirit can be a bit mysterious to us, and that's a powerful thing to ask. Have you ever tried to cheer somebody up that didn't want to be cheered up? In our asking, not only do we ask of the Lord, which desires that His children do ask of Him in faith that He will give them, but it also prepares our hearts to receive. We recognize there's a need. I need more joy. I need more peace. I need more love. And surely the Lord will be faithful to provide that. I am convicted in that. When the cares of life come and the Spirit is not what it should be, I hope this will remind me to remember to ask. Appreciate that. And may the Lord's Spirit be with each of us in its fullness.
I just really appreciated the comments that talked about the contagion of the fruit of the Spirit. You probably won't find much fruit in a man that is dejected and downcast, even if he does try to share the gospel, because he's not manifesting the power of the Lord in the process, and it is a contagious thing. And I thought about that earlier, and I failed to mention it, but the contagion is really, really clear. When those people went to the stake to be burned to death, or when they went on the gallows, it was said of George Wagner that he went ahead of his group, and he was exulting, he was singing, he was joyful, he was going to his execution, he was going to see his Lord, and people said, "How can this thing be? How can this thing be?" You don't know until you've been there. You don't know until you have had the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart and take up residence there by the Holy Ghost. You don't know those things. But it is a powerful witness. If you're going to try to share the gospel, you have to show the fruit. And so I just appreciate that.
Interesting that the spreading of the Holy Spirit a lot of times is by the laying on of hands. In one situation, it was even the shadow of Peter or an article of clothing bringing about healing. That's contagious. Let's remember that as we go through life.
I really appreciate the contagious thought. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Brother Norman. That's things I've thought about, and just even recognize both reading scriptures, early Christians, that made me think as I was reading early Christian writings, all kinds of scriptures in the New Testament that started making more sense to me. So, like one translation of the one passage, and I can't remember where it's located, but where it says, "Bad company corrupts good character." And there's other ways to translate that, but it's kind of that idea. So, in other words, darkness is contagious, or light is. I guess the devil doesn't want me to share that. Hello. Anyway. And it makes me think of Jesus' teachings, right? Like when he's teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount, and you're doing good, and somebody slaps you, or whatever, all the different teachings that tell you to be steadfast. Like Paul would say, set your mind on things above, like steadfast. You're still going to do good no matter what. Because when that darkness is coming at you, it's,
you know, bad company corrupts good character. Like, the darkness is trying to be contagious, and you have to push back against it and be light. And when you are, like this example, like the brother shared, somebody going to be martyred, it just amazes people. Or just even sharing your faith with people, and they're being rude to you or whatever, and you just continue being polite to them. Whatever. Eventually, God gives everybody a conscience. A lot of times it'll poke people in the conscience, and they'll feel guilty that they're mistreating you, because they could see that, wow, this person, what they're saying is not for bad reasons. They actually care about me or whatever, and they might drop their sword or whatever. But anyway, just thinking about the whole contagious on both sides. If we're going to be fruits of the Spirit, it's if we're going to walk that way, it's contagious to people. And if we're walking the other way, then it's contagious to people. Like Paul says, bad company corrupts good character. So.